knowledge, props, outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Friday, December 7th.
I'm glad it's Friday.
If I'm correct, today is Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th.
Really?
Yeah, I remember that because, I don't know, one of my relationships started on December 7th. So,
you remember that?
I always remember that.
Yeah. Oh, so weird.
I know. How's it going?
I'm good. I finally slept last night for like a really long time.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know what time I went to bed. I was watching Vampire Diaries, which, yes, go ahead, make fun of me. But it's one of my favorite shows. Yeah. I love Vampire Diaries.
Yeah,
I guess it was from like 8 to 9. It might have been from like 9 to 10. I don't remember. And after that, I fell asleep, just completely like passed out.
Really, huh?
Woke up like here and there. And then I woke up at like 6 for sure. And I was like, all right, I'm up. Crazy. Why am I up? So I was going to go to the gym. And then I looked online today at the classes. Normally there's like, you know, an early class for spin, and there was nothing until 8 o'clock, and I'm like,
really?
Figures, the day that I get up at 6, there's nothing until 8, awesome. And I didn't really feel like driving all the way down to my yoga studio. Like, I know I need to start going back to my yoga studio, but it's in West Hollywood, so it's just like a pain to like get up and go all the way there, and da da da. And I haven't timed it with traffic yet, so I don't know what it would be like in order to like get back. At least the spin classes, I know how quick it takes and whatever.
Right.
So I didn't do that. And then I texted my girlfriend, partner in crime. I'm like, get up. Come on. Let's do something.
Wow. You woke her up.
And she wasn't up. So then I was like, well, damn. So then I went back in my floor's dry.
Oh, really?
Yay.
Well, congratulations.
Let's celebrate.
It's about time.
Thank God. So I'm moving everything from the one side of the room to the other side today. And then going to finish the other side of
the room. So then the other side's going to take another week to dry?
God only knows. But I know now that as soon as I put the polyurethane on, it kind of just dries everything up. So,
okay.
And it's not going to be as humid as it was. So we're going to do that today.
Yeah.
Or actually, I'll probably
clean
the
floor. That's true. It is going to be warmer the next few days, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, it shouldn't be as humid or have the moisture in the air. So that's good.
Right.
And I'll let it you know, sift through and dry. I'm fine. You know what? I moved into the family room. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to finish it. Now you did half of it.
I know.
You got to finish.
I know. It feels so good in my room, too. I'm
really?
Like, oh, the energy feels so awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited to, like, move back in.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I, like, moved into the family room, which it's not like a family room that, like, anyone can go in. It's, like, got two doors so I can close it. It's private. It's like, it's like its own room, basically.
Right.
So I have my own little bedroom. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
totally
that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have a fireplace in there, so it's been very cozy.
Yeah.
So I've been, like, it was funny. I wanted to take a picture. Like, all the dogs are, like, curled up all over me. So I woke up this morning with four dogs around me.
Four dogs.
Well, because one of them's half mine.
Right.
And that roommate wasn't home.
Right.
So
and you got
mine.
Three of your own, huh?
Yeah.
Why do you need so many dogs?
Well, I just kind of had, they're cute. All right. Well, the one's 10, so she's just old. I got her when I was in North Carolina as a puppy, and she's just old and just lays around. And then I was in London, and I was bored. I was really bored in London, and I was like, I miss my doggy. So I thought, oh, she's so cute, like a long-haired Chihuahua. She looks kind of like a Yorkie in a way, but not.
Right.
So cute, 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds. She's so sweet. Have you
really?
Seen her? Haven't you seen her?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe not. She hides, like, during parties. She hides a lot.
Wow,
she's
that's
so
a really
tiny.
Small Chihuahua, 2.5 pounds.
She's really small.
I mean, when we had one, it was like 10 pounds or something.
She looks like an Ewok.
Really?
Yeah. Or, like, not really an Ewok. Actually, what were those? Gremlins. That's what
gremlins?
It was. She looks like a gremlin, actually.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, she's so ugly. I'm like, she's so ugly, but she's cute. You know, so it's like a gremlin, but she literally will hide like when there's people over, and if she's like laying in a bunch of pillows, she kind of blends in, so you don't really notice her.
Yeah.
And she's really quiet, like a cat. So she's like, whatever.
That's unusual for a Chihuahua.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't make
a sound.
Is she
pretty old, too?
No, she's like 6.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 7.
Yeah, Chihuahuas are very feisty.
She's not. But she runs the whole pack.
Really?
Like, it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I'm like, you it is, are huh?
the smallest one.
2.5 pounds, and you're, like, in charge of everyone. Like, it's pretty funny. Yeah. And then I have a little boy, Chihuahua, who's, he's just a terror.
Yeah.
And he's a terror, yeah.
Wow.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely funny.
It is. They're funny. They've got great personalities,
yeah.
You know, and everything, but they do destroy things.
Oh, he destroys things.
Yeah.
Because he's like 4, but he can unzip zippers.
Really?
So, if there's gum, he really likes gum, which is not good for dogs, but if there's gum in my purses, which there always is, he will unzip it and get in and get the gum out.
Wow.
Yeah. And then chew it up and then spit it in the long-haired Chihuahua's hair, which is always fun to get out. Thank you. At least I learned as a kid because I had gum in my hair all the time growing up. Like, oh my God. My brother used to spit it in my hair to be a jerk. And my mom would be like, ah! So I learned very young how to get it out with, like, you know, vegetable oil.
Wow.
Or at least it's a dog, you can just cut it. It's
fine. Did you grow up with dogs, too?
No, that's why, I think. Because we were never allowed to have animals, ever. Oh. My parents don't like animals. My mom actually has no problem with it. It's my dad, he just hates them.
Right.
Yeah, and so we have a bird. I mean, we got a bird, I don't know, I think I was like 12 or 13 when we got our bird. And they live to be 100 years.
Really?
And she's very bratty. She screams obscenities.
Really?
Yes. It's pretty funny, actually. When you go back to the Maryland house, you hear this, fuck you!
Really?
It's the bird.
I love it.
It's the bird. And it sounds like it's a person. And you're like, who just said that? What? Yeah. It's her. And then it screams mom. Because sometimes we don't use the intercoms in the house and we'll just scream, like when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
And so now the bird will scream, mom, like throughout the whole house, like very ear piercing. But so I didn't grow up with animals. So and I love animals. I really do.
Yeah.
And I was. I
wanted so that's to be, why you got yourself 3.5 dogs.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
So, but I mean, you don't even, the two of them are so small, they like equal one.
Right.
So it's like 2.
Yeah.
And then the half of one's not really mine. I just found it and I gave it to someone in the house.
Right.
But
so it's good because you have roommates. So then when you leave, there's somebody to take care of the dogs, right?
I've always been lucky that way.
Yeah.
I mean, even like when I've lived alone, and I've lived alone, like I lived alone for years, actually. It's the first time I've lived in a house with people.
Mm.
In a long time, I guess. But yeah, I've always lived alone. But my house was always like the center house.
Yeah.
Because I lived in Hollywood for 9 years.
Uh-huh.
And I was always the one that lived right in the... I had to be near everything. Of course, I'm like that person. I got to be have the best of the best. And I got to live in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
And that's what I did when I first moved here. And so my house was like the party playground. Like it was like the meeting place. So my best friends would have keys.
Mm.
And they would always come in and out. And so if I was gone, which I traveled a lot. I mean, especially when I was filming my TV show. I was gone for a couple months. I had someone staying there.
Yeah.
So it was fine.
Yeah.
I've always had amazing friends, I will say.
Yeah.
They've
you see, that's one of the things that concerns me is when you have a dog, you always have, it's like a kid, you know, you always have to worry about what to do with them and everything. And it's a responsibility.
It is, but I've always had really good people around me, so I never have to worry.
And plus, if you love dogs really, you know, a lot, then it's worth it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you figure out things to do.
They're each other's playmates, so it works out perfect.
Right.
They just destroy the toys that I get them. They're literally gone in 3 days. Fine. Actually, the mop for the floor, because my girlfriend came over. We were, like, doing the polyurethane, and it's made of lamb, like lamb wool.
Mm-hmm.
And because oil-based, you need the lamb stuff. So it was in a bag. And it was high up. Somehow I got the bag down.
Mm.
And I will say, it does look like a stuffed animal.
Really?
It was destroyed. I was very upset because it was an expensive piece of
for
the floor.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't buy it in the first place, but I was like, oh, I got to have the best thing for the floor, blah, blah, blah. And it destroyed it. And I couldn't really yell at it because it looks like it's a stuffed animal that I would normally give them. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. When we first got a Chihuahua, he was really small and stuff. That was like years ago. And, I mean, you know, you just put like a gate in the kitchen and keep them there or something so they don't go around the house because they shit, you know. Well, he would shit in the kitchen, walk in the shit and all that stuff. And I'm just like, you know, I can't handle dogs, man. You know, I love them, but I can't. I can't have one. You know, it's just too much.
Right now I feel bad because they are home-based in the office, which is attached to the kitchen. So they've got the office and the kitchen right now while they can't be in my room.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, what the hell is going on? I don't like this situation. Yeah. But cool. Whatever.
Do you like cats too?
Not really a cat person.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I mean, they're cute and cuddly from a distance.
Right, exactly.
But I'm not good with, like, I mean, I love animals. I'm an animal person. Like, I love any animal, but I can't, no.
Yeah.
One scratched my face, remember?
Yes.
I have a scar on my lip because Jesse's cat decided to claw my face off.
Wow.
They're just temperamental. You don't know how to read
that. Yeah, unpredictable, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I have a snake, and my snake is more predictable than the cat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had my snake for 10 years, so...
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah.
I know. They're talking about snakes. Remember, we were talking about the pythons in Florida and
stuff? Right. Well, it's ridiculous.
It's getting a lot worse. They're saying
The
raccoon population is,
going down,
diminished by 90%.
It's because they don't know. I mean, first of all, snakes breed like crazy.
Right.
And when they lay all their eggs, it's a lot. And also, like, they when they're used to eating a lot, especially when they're in the wild, like for my snake, you can tame them on when they eat. Like my snake eats once a month, and they grow to the size of their cage. Now, if they're not in a cage, they continue to grow and grow and grow.
Really?
Yes. My snakes train, once a month. Some people do it every 2 weeks to feed their snakes. If they're in the wild and they're constantly eating and they're trained to kill things around them, they kind of just, they don't even always eat them. They'll just kill it and done.
Oh, really?
Like, for example, if my snake's already eaten and I drop another rat in there, there's two options. It may just let the rat be and the rat's just chilling and having fun and having a playground. And I'm like, really? But then the rat can actually kill the snake.
Oh.
It can harm it and then get a bacterial infection. Yeah. So I got to watch it. She doesn't eat it right away. I got to take the rat out. It's happened twice. And I have a gross story with that. It's so gross. I picked the rat out, not realizing that rat's tails come off.
Oh.
And I went and picked it up, and the tail came off, and the rat kept going, and it was wiggling, and I'm like,
ah! Oh, my God.
It was the most, that freaked me out, because I wasn't expecting that. You hear about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
The tail just comes off?
The tail just came off, And then they regrow. But I was just like, oh, my God, this is the most grossest thing in my hand. That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people would not be able to feed a living thing to a snake,
I will say that I've never worried about rats because they're like bred in Petco and they're bred for that, whatever. Yeah. I will say that I did something stupid once. This is when I was younger and I was dating someone kind of crazy back then too. So it was their idea and I was like, sounds like a plan. I had a bunch of hamsters. Was it hamsters or gerbils? Hamsters, I guess. Whatever. I don't remember. Whatever the small ones are. I don't know. I get confused. Whatever the...
Guinea pig or something?
No, not guinea pigs. They're bigger. So I guess it was hamsters.
Okay.
Whatever. They were small. And I loved the one. And I had two of them. And the one I loved so much. She was so awesome. They had babies. And I'm like, this is cool. And then, I don't know, I was an idiot. So I kept buying, like, the add-on toys for it. I, like... such a child in ways. It's like my parents deprived me of animals when I was younger. So, like, I had to, like, do this. And I've always wanted, like... the little hamster house, like with the connectables that go through everywhere. So I kept buying stuff. I was like, cool, I'll add on more. Yeah. Making rooms, whatever. And then I thought it was neat. And then they had like babies. And I'm like, this is so cute. Look at the little babies all. And then I live with a roommate. And well, actually, she moved in my place for a couple months. She didn't have a place to stay. Her dog attacked the cage and ate my, like the mama, who was like my favorite.
Wow.
Oh my God. I was like heartbroken. I had to like bury it in the ground. It was really funny. Anyway, after that happened, they started eating each other. The hamster or whatever. Yeah, it was. Oh
really?
My God, it was so gross. They started eating each other, and then I was freaking out about it. So then the person who I was with at the time was like, well, let's just dump them in the snake cage. And I'm like, sounds like a good idea. Because in my head, I was like, well, now they're evil, and I don't want them anywhere near because I'm upset that the mom died, and they're eating each other, and I'm over it. Done.
Yeah.
So then I dumped them in the snake cage.
Yeah. Well, we have. Our guest is calling in, so we're going to take this call right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Bobby Kelton.
Yes, Bobby. Good morning.
Hi, Bobby. Thank you. Are you?
Hi, Sam. Hi, Bridgetta.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm actually in Palm Springs, California right now.
Oh, well, lucky you.
Yeah, you know, you have the life there. There you go.
Yeah. But I live in Florida, so I'm just here temporarily.
Oh, where in Florida?
Delray Beach.
Got it. Sweet. I'm in Naples area.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Cool.
All
right. So what are you doing here? Are you visiting or business?
Well, I'm here on a little bit of both, but mostly business because I just had my new book published, which is about internet dating, and I'm making the rounds. It's called Please Don't Let This Be Her.
Don't Let This Be Her. Okay.
Please don't let this be her.
Please don't.
Yeah.
You
know, like, no, I know. I thought it was Don't Let This Be Her.
Oh, and he was looking at the wrong thing. That's pretty funny.
That's why I could bring up anything
on
Google.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go.
So what exactly is the book about? Like, please don't let this be her. So it's like you meet someone, and then you're like, oh, God, please don't let this be her. And then you walk out.
Basically, it's a book about my internet dating experiences, and many of them were kind of, you know, they say horror stories. It's a very funny book, and the genesis of it was I would start, you know, I did the internet dating thing for several years, like so many millions of people have done, and I found that I would see somebody online and see their photo, and then we would email, and then I'd set up a date at a coffee shop, and invariably, each time, it was extremely disappointed because it didn't quite seem like they represented themselves, you know.
Right.
They finally walked in. They were like 20 years older than the photo. And by the way, everybody does this. Guys do it. Girls do it.
Yeah.
But for me, it was quite shocking. And then after about, you know, half a dozen dates, I was so fearful. I had such trepidation that I would be sitting, say, in a Starbucks waiting for my date, and every vagabond and bag person and anybody who walked in there who looked horrible, I would pray to myself, please don't let this be her.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But it is true.
Because I thought any one of them could be my date approaching my table. I was just, I was totally paranoid.
Yeah, that's true. And I would bet that a lot of people misrepresent themselves on those dating sites.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why you get to that point where you're like, I don't know what to expect, you know?
Exactly. And I think, you know, not everybody does, but it is a big part of the game. And I think the reason people do it is because, you know, they're a little insecure and they figure, well, you know, I'll say this or I'll put this picture up. But then when I meet the person in person, I'll sell them with my personality and they'll overlook all the whatever else it is. And it's just that they try to gain an advantage. And you know, it's human nature. It's understandable.
Right. And this is why, like, I see it even in castings. Like, it's the biggest thing. Like, I'll put an ad out for certain castings. And this is a while ago. I put an ad out for models. And there was I'm not kidding. And I would say ages, you know, 21 to, like, 30 or whatever. And must have a bikini body. And I remember a woman walked in. And she was in her mid-40s. Mm. And she was, and her body wasn't even banging. It wasn't even like, okay,
yeah.
I'll, no. I'm like, did you not read what I posted?
Yeah,
what is wrong with your thick head? Like, are you retarded?
Yeah.
So
exactly. People do that, and sometimes it's the most jarring experience. I mean, you know, I would be online and say I'd see a photo of a woman who looked very attractive. One woman was very attractive, blonde hair, and looked attractive and had sunglasses on, which like looked mysterious. That was the key, by the way. I learned later that sunglasses are a red flag.
No, really?
And so I said, oh, I have to meet this woman. And so we set up a drink at a bar, and she walked in. And she, by the way, she was from England, so she had the English thing going, the sunglasses. When she walked in and she sat down, she took off her sunglasses. She looked like Winston Churchill.
Oh, my God.
And I, you know, it was frightening. And, you know, it was very difficult to handle. So that kind of thing happened quite often.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, so how long were you dating online? Was that for a limited time, or did you research the book, or did you actually want to meet someone?
I actually wanted to meet someone. I did it for several years, and I had no intention, Sam, I hadn't even thought of a book. It didn't enter my mind. But what happened was, after doing this for a couple of years and going on 100 plus dates,
wow,
and I would be telling my friends and people I know these stories. They were all on the floor cracking up, and they would say, you got to write this. And and it was at that point that a light bulb went on and said, yeah, maybe I do, because it was just too funny. The unusual experiences and the strange people and everything that went on was just so funny. For example, I had a date with a woman who seemed really vivacious on the emails and the phone calls, and then we met for lunch or coffee, and she was from very serious and guarded, completely different from the way she was on the phone. And she had been she was Israeli. She had been in the Israeli army. And I'm sitting across from her, and she was intense and serious. And I thought to myself, here's a woman who had been on the front lines with Syria and Egypt and Hamas, but now was sitting across from perhaps her greatest enemy, a man who might want to have sex with her.
That's a good one, yeah. So, Bobby, you're a comedian, right?
I am. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been doing this a long time. I've been on The Tonight Show over 2 dozen times and many other shows, and I tour all around the country, and that's what I do.
Amazing. Now, I wanted to ask you about internet dating, because I've heard that, like, the numbers are disproportionate completely between men and women, right? I mean, there's like... So how do you possibly get to go on dates like this?
Well, I'll tell you, that's an interesting question, Sam. And there are a lot of men and there are a lot of women, but here's the difference. The women are more in demand. Women tend to get thousands of emails from men.
Right.
So they don't have to be that as proactive and searching through the internet, where men have to do that. I mean, I've met women who told me they get 5,000 emails a week.
Wow.
Now, us men, we're lucky if we get a few.
Yeah.
So the men have to really be more proactive.
Right.
And it makes it a lot more difficult. Like, I would have to write to 30 or 40 women to get two responses, to get two replies.
Yeah. Wow. You see, so that would be discouraging, I think, you know. But obviously, you were persistent about it, and you got rewarded that way. Did you... Now, we laugh about the people that you hope are not the ones that you're meeting with, but what about some other dates? I mean, did you have times where it was actually nice and you enjoyed yourself?
Well, I had a few which seemed to have hope, like the first or second date. Say I went out with somebody a few times, and there seemed to be promise. But then what would happen was on the third or fourth date, or the, you know, occasionally, there weren't that many fifth dates, but something really bizarre would happen. The other shoe would drop. And that's, by the way, some of the stories in the book, where somebody seemed to have promise, but then it turned out there was something very strange about them going on. And by the way, being a stand-up comedian enabled me to really bring out the humor of internet dating. There's probably nothing like this out on the market, because it is just laugh out loud funny when you read about some of the things that have happened. And so I really didn't, you know, in 3 years or so of doing this and meeting hundreds of people, nothing ever panned out, because, like I said, even if the first couple of dates were okay, eventually, you know, the other shoe fell.
Right. Wow.
What was, like, the craziest date that you've ever been on, or the weirdest?
Well, the weirdest was probably I went out with a woman who was a vegan. And,
hey, do not knock vegans, or I will slap your face with you next time.
He's not knocking them.
With a banana.
He's setting up the story, really.
I know.
Setting up the story. Like, you know, vegans are great, but what happened with this particular woman is she was a little bit intolerable of me not being a vegan.
Oh.
So it lets, you know, so like I started to eat a sandwich, and she started screaming, "That bread is dead! Don't eat it! That bread is dead!"
Oh my God! Oh, wow. Okay, that's really weird.
Almost spit it out of my mouth. You know? but aside from being a vegan, she had some interesting eccentricities. One of the things she told me was that she could tell what a man ate for dinner by having sex with him that night. And when she told me that, I didn't even want to take a chance doing it, because yeah. I was afraid at the moment of ecstasy she'd yell out something like roasted chicken with vegetables.
Oh my God.
So very, very strange. That was one of the stranger ones.
Right. You know, the problem I see with internet dating is it's like everything is like logical and rational. It's not like there's no feeling in there. When you meet someone like in a party or wherever, you guys don't start going, okay, well, he's, you know, he's 5'11", he weighs that much, blah, blah, blah. This is what he does. That's not the way. So it's not like a natural way to meet people.
Absolutely, Sam. You know, when you say that, I thought for a second you must have read my book, because I literally say those exact words
really?
That you just say. It's in one of my chapters, where I say, when you meet somebody at a party, it's just the initial, you know, chemistry that takes hold. They don't worry about, they don't ask you your age immediately, they don't ask you your income.
Right.
And they don't
worry
that
much about... It's just about the connection and what you have going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's exactly the tenor of my book. If there's one moral or essential idea I try to bring out in the book, is that going on the internet, although, and it's not a bad thing, it's another way to meet people, and there are many people who have met and even gotten married, but essentially it's like shopping for a mate.
Right.
You know, and
shopping.
People have
it is, you know, and that's what it feels like.
It's like going to a store, and I'll say, oh, this one looks good, this one looks good, and at the same time people list their prerequisites of what they're looking for, so you have to meet all these criteria where, right. Like you say, if you meet somebody at a party, you don't take out a piece of paper with a list.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You just start talking to them and you hit it off.
Right.
And that's why, although the internet does work for some people, I think, and again, the moral of my book is, by and large, the serendipity of actual life is where most people will meet the right one.
Right.
Yeah, you have to have that human connection in the beginning and not sort of like date by the numbers, you know. And, yeah.
People have all kinds of parameters. For example, Brigetta, I don't know if you've done internet dating, but
I haven't yet. I've been scared of it.
You know, a lot of people, and like, just say a woman says, I'm looking for a man. You put your age range of what you're looking for, and say they say 35 to 45, okay? Mm-hmm. And a man writes this woman, and he happens to be 46 or 47. Uh-huh. Many times she will not reply because he didn't meet the criteria of being 35 to 45, which when you think of it is ridiculous because
right.
of
yeah.
a year or two. Whereas if you were at a party, it wouldn't even come up.
That's
no, it
true.
Wouldn't.
Exactly.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
So people box themselves in. Another thing people do is they want people within 5 miles of their zip code. Well, your mate could be like two states away. So,
right.
you know, again, you want to you don't want to have to box yourself in. And that's part of the dilemmas that you have in internet dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds fascinating, Bobby. We're talking to Bobby Kelton. The book is Please Don't Let This Be Her, a comedian's Search for Love on the Internet. And so at this point, you haven't met anybody yet, huh?
That's the interesting part. I finally did meet somebody. When it was all said and done, the universe brought me a beautiful, wonderful girl. And when I went to Delray Beach to start doing comedy, I met her, and her name is Adrienne, and we hit it off, and it was a happy ending after all that.
Right.
See?
And
awesome.
Was that through internet dating, or did you guys meet just in the real world?
Well, the funny thing about that is I had finished the book, and I had finished with internet dating. I couldn't take any more, and I had 1 week left on my subscription, and I went to Florida to do a show, because I had been living in California, and I said, you know, I have 1 week left. I think I'll just take a look here in Fort Lauderdale, see if there's anything, because I paid for 6 months, and I'm going to get 6 months out of this.
Right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, her picture popped up, her photo, and we wrote, and we went out, and boom, just like that.
Wow.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it all worked out. But
right.
But I had to go through the journey, and that's the whole point, is you have to work at it possibly for years and go out and meet hundreds of people and put up with all the bad stories. And at the end of that, you have a shot. But if you don't, if you're not willing to go through that, it's going to be tough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, sounds good to me. You know, I mean, I think this should be like a warning for some people to really. Just be realistic about their expectations of what's going to happen when they go on. You know, because I can imagine. You know, you said some women get like 5,000, and I bet you some women don't get anything. You know, it just depends, and everybody goes after the hot ones, and you know. Well, so what's the point?
This is true, and uh-huh. and that's another part of it is. Everybody goes after the hot ones, and of course women want the good-looking guys, and so it's, you know, the visuality of it comes to the fore, and perhaps even more than real life, because that's the first thing you see is you see a photo and you make a judgment on that photo before you really get to the person.
That's true.
So that makes it a little more difficult, but sure, I'm sure there are some people that don't get a lot of emails, and there's some people that get inundated. And you have to be lucky to get the right one. It's kind of like throwing an arrow through
right.
cyberspace and hoping you hit something.
You hit something.
In the book, I cover all kinds of topics from money, rejection, lying about your age, And it's not all just about internet dating. It's a lot of it is about the search for true love and you know, men and women and chemistry and kissing. You know, one of the subjects I talk about is the thing on the internet that people kind of refer to, kissability. That, you know, you have to have kissability. You have to be a good kisser. And if you don't have kissability, you have a disability. And you know, you know everybody, it's those kind of things, which, again, in real life, people wouldn't worry about. It would just happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. it gets complicated, you know. But I think there's definitely, like, a whole different universe out there in cyberspace for people dating. And you found the humor in that, and that's cool.
I did find the humor, and again, of course, being a stand-up comedian helped me do that. I mean, it just the humor was there.
Right.
It wasn't hard to see, and in each story, and you know, it's funny because these were just stories from my experiences and my point of view. That's why it was like, please don't let this be her. But trust me, women have the same horror stories about men,
yeah.
And they could, you know, I even write in my book, how do I know this woman isn't walking to my table, seeing me and saying, please don't let this be him.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It does work both ways.
Right.
But again, I think that's part of the trepidation in online dating is that, you know, you set up a meeting and it's, you know, it's basically a blind date.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's a blind date. You know, you don't know what to expect.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an extension of the, you know, when they had personals in the newspapers in the 80s.
Right.
You know, an extension for that. But,
yeah.
You know, we're looking for similar things. You know, I mean, men look for women with good looks and good figures, and women look for men with good looks and six figures.
Exactly.
it's close. But, I think that, you know, if people are fortunate enough that just real life you can meet somebody, you know, that's usually a better way to go, because then you don't have to go through years of there's a lot of rejection and degradation and strange experiences. And but I, like I said, I try to make it funny, and the book really is laugh out loud funny when you read the stories.
Yeah, it does seem like it, you know. And so I also wanted to ask you, are you performing out here while you're here?
I am. In fact, tomorrow night, that's one of the reasons I'm in Palm Springs. I am performing at the gala at the Palm Springs Celebrity Golf Tournament. I'm a golfer, and I do a lot of these kind of events.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
And so this weekend is the Palm Springs Celebrity Golf Tournament. And in a few days, I go back to Florida, and about 4 or 5 days, I'm doing a benefit in Fort Lauderdale for Hurricane Sandy. Victims for the Red Cross and Salvation Army. So I do a lot of benefits too.
Nice.
So I'm keeping busy doing that and selling my book.
Sounds good. Okay, everybody check it out. BobbyKelton.com, and you'll find out more information about the book. I see it's also available on Amazon and probably everywhere else where books are sold. And the book, of course, is Please Don't Let This Be Her. And I see on your website there's also some comedy routines and stuff. I'm going to check those out later.
Yeah, I have some clips from my stand-up comedy, and there's some excerpts from the book. And yeah, you're right. The book is on Amazon, Book Locker, Barnes & Noble. It's an e-book, Nook and Kindle, so pretty much all over the place. You can't avoid it.
Sounds good. Bobby, thank you so much. And,
okay, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to check out the book. I think the topic is relevant, and with humor, you can't go wrong there. So
I think you'll have some laughs.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bobby. All the best to you.
Okay, have a good day. Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know. I like when people write books. You know,
yeah.
It's really cool. I need to do that too, but... It seems like such an insurmountable task to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'm going to start this. When the hell am I going to finish it?
I hear you. I have a book that I've written, and it's halfway done. And eventually, I think I'm going to change it a little bit. I have a different approach of how I'm going to write it now. At first, I was going to write it and change the name. It's based on a true story, and change names. And now I think I'm just going to I'm going to write it in a different approach. It's really funny. Like, yeah. I was writing it, and I'm cracking up laughing. Because it's just, it's literally some of the dating horror stories that I went through.
Yeah.
And especially when I was working in the industry, you know, the entertainment industry, and things that I saw and things that I was approached with. And I'm like, what? And it's funny, and I want to make it a little more relatable so it's not all about the industry kind of thing. I'm changing it a little bit. But I started writing, and 8 chapters just came out of nowhere.
Wow.
And I'm kind of like, wow, okay, this is great. You know, like it just, because they're really funny, funny stories. But
yeah.
I'm not sure. I keep debating of like how I'm going to rewrite it and how I'm going to approach it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, when people write books, they have so many rewrites and stuff, you know, sometimes
right.
the book changes completely by the time it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a process, you know.
And, it's super funny. If you were to read it, you'd be like, what
really?
The hell? This really happened.
What the hell? Then publish it. Finish and
yeah,
publish it.
Yeah, I will. It's one of my projects that I'll be working on. I have so much going on right now, but
yeah.
I'm trying to get the little things where I'm involved other people done first so that I get my portion done that I've lived up to. Like, so I know if I say I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. That's me.
Right.
So my portion's done. Now it's your turn to finish the rest. And while
right.
I'm waiting on your ass, basically, then I can do my other things that are just me.
Right.
So, you know, I have that going on. But I just found out online just now that a show that I worked on, remember I was casting for a show last year, Match Me If You Can.
Yes.
It's picked up on VH1.
Really?
And I just found out, yeah, I just posted it on my Twitter or Facebook. It's on the link now. But it airs January 6th.
Uh-huh.
And they changed the name to Making Mr. Right.
Making
Mr.
Okay.
Right. And basically, it's about 3 women
mm-hmm.
that they take these guys who have potential. They could be amazing guys, but for whatever reason, maybe one used to be a player and doesn't know how to stop being a player, or maybe one was like severely hurt. Maybe one's a total geek, doesn't know how to dress right, or whatever. Like
right.
whatever it is, and try and make them more approachable or more comfortable in their own skin to date women. Now you think it's like a these girls helping them. They're kind of like the wing women, basically.
Right.
Well, there's a twist, and we didn't tell anyone that, and now we can release it because it just came out in the press release today, so I can say it. But basically, these women truly actually like these guys, and they want to make them the one. So it's moldable for them.
Yeah.
So the guys have no idea that these women who are making them go out on dates and changing them and all this stuff, they think that they're doing it to meet other women, and it's really for them.
Wow.
So it's cute. They lived in a house together for about 8 weeks, and it's a cute show. It's really cute. So I helped with casting. A lot of people that I cast will be on the show, so it'll be exciting to watch. And it is January 6th on VH1. Yeah. This just in, I just found out.
Very nice, yeah.
So
does it usually work with women being wing women and stuff? It works, right?
It does, absolutely. I'm a really good wing woman. Like,
really?
Yeah.
But I mean, but isn't the woman that's being approached going to ask, well, why can't he approach me? You know, I mean, why is he sending someone
over?
Oh, no,
that's not how you do that.
No.
When you go out to, like, a bar, for example, and we're all hanging out, and I have a lot of guy friends, and we're hanging out, and they're like, that girl over there is cute. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll make friends with her. And what happens is I make friends with her, I start chatting it up, and then I'm like, oh, meet my friends, blah, 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 and then it's a casual introduction.
Right.
That girl has no idea what she's in for.
Right.
She has no clue that we're preying on her, basically,
right.
and I'm going to include her in our group. She has no idea. And if she does have an idea, she's thrown off a little bit because I'm, you know, making friends with her and I'm inviting her to our group. And then usually it goes to, okay, let us buy you a round. And then my guy friend will buy a round. And as he's buying a round, they'll start talking. And I kind of make them talk and then kind of go from there.
Wow.
So wing woman is just like reeling the girl in slowly without her realizing.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Sounds like it's worth it. You know, I mean, if it works, it works.
Well, because, you know, I have a lot of guy friends and I relate to guys, but I also, obviously, I'm a chick and I can relate to girls. And so you can't, you know, there's so many cheesy pickup lines you can do, and that's fine and dandy. But honestly, I hate that. Like, I don't, when I used to go out and you know, with my friends, or even when I do now, it's like, if some person comes up to you with a cheesy pickup line, it's like, really? And
right.
I'm going to completely ignore you. If it's funny, I'm going to laugh and be like, that was funny.
Right.
That was worth it. Now I'm good, but thanks, you know? And then I will hilariously be like, that was awesome, and you should go say it to that girl over there. You know what I mean? But most of the time, it's like, I was saying before, like, all the creepers come out, and you see it's like, as soon as it hits 1 a.m., they're like, oh, God, I got to hurry up and get my game on,
because
I only have 45 minutes left before I have to go home with someone, because that's how men think, you know, when they're at a club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hate clubs. That's why I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what clubs are like. I haven't been to a club in years, you know. But yeah. So why don't you like them? I mean, what is it, like a meat market or something?
It is like a meat. You know what it is? It's for several reasons. One, because the energies of the people that are in there are just like they're going to get wasted and to just hook up, and I don't need that, you know. And I just don't care. Like, just I can't explain it. It irritates me.
Right.
Like, I'd rather, if I'm gonna go out, I wanna be with my good friends or people that I care about, and I wanna like have like a nice little chill time at like a dive bar where I can actually have conversation and hear you.
That's true.
Now, given I like to dance, you know, and that's I definitely do.
Right.
And this is why my house party, for example, like I'm gonna have another house party. I'm gonna have a DJ there, and it's kind of like a not really nightclubby, but it'll be different. Like, it'll be music that I'm in control, you know?
People get to dance and stuff.
Right, and we'll dance and we'll have fun and we're going to mix some karaoke up in there. Up in there. But, I mean, it's all my friends,
right.
You know? So it's not like anyone's... There's no creepy McCreepersons unless there's a creeper in the closet, which was, like, last year. Please don't let that happen again. I thought it was good entertainment.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that happened. But, yeah, it's like... It's like, you know, if you go to a club, it's basically you're going to get ass. Like, that's what you're going for.
Right.
You know, you're in that realm
of it.
That's
true. Women, too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to hook up.
Yeah.
So they're going to, you know, get out and get crazy.
Right.
I mean, I'll go for, like, an event. You know, like, the event that I threw happened to be at a club because that's what worked. And that's who gave us a free place, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever. But it's not something I would ever... If you were, like... I'm going to the club tonight. It's not happening.
No,
I'm not going. I'd rather, honestly, like, I'm a homebody in ways. Like, I like being at home watching a movie.
Yeah.
Or chilling or getting work done. Like, I have a ton of work to do. I love going out with my friends. I really do, and I have a blast when I do. Like, tonight I'm going to this party. It's going to be so funny. I like house parties.
Yeah.
And they have a midget there. And it's called Slap a Midget. And I'm so excited because I'm going just because I want to slap the midget.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of midget tossing?
No.
Yeah, it's like bowling.
Stop it. Is this for real?
Yeah.
Where?
People do that.
Stop it. I guess you have to pay them a lot.
For fun, yeah.
Okay, because I'm having midgets at my party.
Really?
By the way, yes. I might have one of them as a guest on our show.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I've decided. Actually, I might as well announce it now. This is what I'm going to do. I'm making this up as I go along right now. The midget on the show idea was just random. It just came in. So what I want to do is I have a TV show that we've been working on for a long time, and I want to add another character. So I'm going to add a little person on the show because I think it'd be a cool dynamic. And can you imagine how mad they would get? Like, it'd be so funny, like them yelling at, like, like, awesome. So I want to have like a contest for it.
Right.
So at my party, I'm going to have like the final five midgets at my party. And
where are you going to find them all?
Oh, I've already put ads out.
Oh, okay.
I've already done this.
Really?
This has already happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put it on Craigslist, and then today was LA casting. And I didn't have time this morning to put on Actors Access, but it's going on there too.
Yeah.
I already have a bunch of responses.
So really?
This is great. Yeah. So what we'll do is like they, at the party, because, you know, my birthday's Christmas. I deserve a Christmas elf, you know, right? Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, But I want, like, a partner in crime. Like, Chelsea has her elf. I mean, has her midget.
Yeah, that's true.
I want mine. I deserve one. And it'll be fun. Yes. I'll clothe them. I won't bathe them. That's not happening.
Talk
but
about
I'll clothe
like
them.
Pets.
I'll buy them cool clothes. And, like, yeah!
You're terrible.
What? I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it. Like, yay, project. So we'll have like five.
So what, they're actually going to be slapped?
They might be. We're going to make them go through a series of events or little ideas that I have during my party throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an interactive game. And I already have some ideas in my head that I'm going with. And then the winning midget will get to be on my show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a TV show, and they get to be on it.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to bring them in here and interview them, and they can talk about everything I made them go through.
Yeah.
And then what else they do and how excited they are to be on the show, and how excited they are to be my pet elf.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yes. For sure. Brigetta gets a pet elf.
Yeah.
They may not like that, but But I want it to be like a fun midget. Like I want, like I want him to like go around and like if I'm like, okay, go kick that, and we'll kick it. You know, like, just like, go look up that girl's dress. Okay, like I could totally see. It gets dangerous. See, this is where it gets dangerous. If we're like going to a bar and watching football, mm-hmm. I want it to be like. See, I could totally see myself starting trouble with like Steelers fans and being like, yeah. I got the midget, go kick that.
Yeah.
Go. I already have these ideas in my head. Like, yeah. It's really funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You mentioned this, and I totally forgot that they kicked your ass last week.
Shut up.
Okay. That's why you didn't bring up football on Monday. I figure.
We won't
mention that.
We won't talk about it.
But it seems like you're sort of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Kind of like using them, no? Exploiting them. That's what I'm...
Midgets?
Yeah.
But they're so cute.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. No.
Okay, if they want to go through it, then it's fine, yeah.
It would be, okay, whatever. What's his face that's on Chelsea's show? Look, he's everywhere.
No, I know, but they...
And he doesn't even talk
very
much. He says like a couple of words here and there, and I'm like, that's just not fun. But look how cute he is to dress up.
No, I know.
I want to like dress. Oh my God, it'll be so cute.
Yeah. Okay, no, I mean if they're doing it out of their
own.
It'd
be like my sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch out.
Yeah. Walk around.
Because this sidekick can get a little crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I could be like, and then it's perfect. Like I don't need to get. I can get away with things. I could just have the midget do it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But do bring them in here. It would be very interesting to hear about what their life is like. You know?
Yeah.
I would imagine it's difficult.
But it would
in
be like,
ways.
Right. And I'm not, and you know what would be so fun is to find it like a mate.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's do a midget matchmaking contest. Like, how fun would this be?
Yeah.
See, this is my head goes spinning and it gets crazy and I'm just, really excited.
Yeah.
I think, and I considered this last night. My roommate brought it up and I'm like, what a great idea. Because I was telling him all my ideas. And I was thinking, because you know the back room is like really big, you know? So I was thinking we're turning it into a dance floor anyway. Remember I told you I had that contest with the girls where I made all the girls get in the spaghetti pool?
Right. I remember that one. How can you forget?
For those of you who don't know, you can go on my Facebook. I developed a show that I was selling. And my little... I had my little show that was a YouTube show called Spit and Venom, and I had these four Italian girls on my show, and I figured I blindfolded them. They didn't know what they were in for, and I wanted to see, and I'm Italian, so I can do this.
Yeah.
I thought, what better idea is to throw the paisans into a pool of pasta. So I did, and I think it was like $1,200 of pasta that was delivered and dumped into a pool of sauce, all mixed in. And I hid, I made questions and these answers all inside, like challenges they had to do, all inside of the pasta. And they win prizes for it. So one of it was like, make a pasta angel. They had to get down in the pasta. So what I had done at first, because there were four girls, one girl gets in at first. And of course, the first paper she finds, because I planted them all, where they're blindfolded. Uh-huh. The first one was add another girl. So all the girls were in the pool in the first like minute, because people were watching it. I know it's a show, and I want people to be like, oh my God, this is crazy. So all four girls are in the baby pool together. And then it's like, make a snow angel, make a pasta angel. Then share pasta with the other girl, like Lady and the Tramp. And then it was just so funny. I made them do the most ridiculous things.
Wow.
And I'm just cracking up laughing at, like, I don't know where I come up with this, but this is so funny. So I started thinking, well, we could do this in my house, minus the pasta, because I don't feel like cleaning up that. Pudding. You know?
Wow.
And Justin was like, you should definitely wrestle a midget. And I'm like, pudding.
Yeah.
A pudding contest.
Yeah.
A wrestling. Perfect. They each have to wrestle me. Oh, he was like, they should wrestle each other. And I'm like, no. They have to wrestle me. I'm the birthday girl. I get a piece of, like, this would be fun.
Yeah.
I want to wrestle a midget. It'll be so awesome. So I think what we're going to do is put an old mattress down on the floor so that I don't hurt myself, because this is how I got hurt before wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'll put the baby pool in there and I'll dump a bunch of pudding and then it'll be wrestling.
Sounds good.
Or maybe I'll have them wrestle each other, and then the winner of that match gets to wrestle me. That makes more
sense.
That's
true, too, yeah.
I don't know. I keep changing ideas.
So you're looking forward to wrestling them?
I don't know, but all I'm going to say is that my party on Friday is going to be epic.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're in for when you come to my party.
Wow.
Because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I can imagine from all the stories. You're telling us.
Oh, that's going to be great. There definitely will be video up somewhere.
Sounds good. All right. Well, this is it for Friday. Everybody have a great weekend. Brigetta, enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
And we'll see everybody on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.